All right, good evening. We are sludging along, but we only have 2 weeks left. I mean, if we count this week, we only have one more to go, and I'm excited. We're having a good time. It's been a good series. I hope that it's been a blessing for you. For all of the ones, if you have not been in Mind Games so far, you've missed 6 really great sessions. But do not fear. Thank you so much.
Gib is here.
Do not fear, because Gib is here. This is actually a blessing. I was like, I need one of these, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get down there in time. Thank you. If you've missed them before, you can check out the podcast. It's Martian Talk is available on all streaming platforms. And they have all of the workshops that we've done so far. Mind Games, Eye to Us, and now Mind Games 2. All right, we're going to dive into session 7, emotional apportionment. That's just a fancy way of saying balance. Fancy way. I had to keep my alliteration going, so it started getting hard, but I made it. Right, emotional apportionment, and we're going to be talking about balance. So let's pray and ask God for his help, and we'll get going. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for your Son, for the finished work on the cross. Father, I pray that as we spend time pouring over your word, Father, I pray that we would become more like you as we seek to be more emotionally intelligent people. In Jesus' name we pray, and we're thankful. Amen. Tonight we are talking about emotional balance. And emotional balance refers to the state of being able to manage and regulate one's emotions effectively, maintaining a sense of equilibrium and stability in response to various situations and challenges. Emotional balance refers to the state of being able to manage and regulate one's emotions effectively, maintaining a sense of equilibrium and stability in response to various situations and challenges. It involves being aware of your emotions, understanding them, and then being able to express them appropriately without being overwhelmed by them. So it happens a lot of times in my counseling sessions where I'm talking to people and they say, I'm afraid to open that lid. I'm afraid to unleash that because I'm not sure how far this will go. I'm not sure how deep we'll go. And so because of that, it's easier to be more closed off. It's easier to just to not even explore it at all because I don't want to be able to open this and then we're not able to kind of put the cap back on, right? And so that ability to express them appropriately without being overwhelmed by them. Emotional balance doesn't mean suppressing emotions or feeling only positive ones. Rather, it involves acknowledging and processing both positive and negative emotions in a healthy manner. Achieving emotional balance often involves practices like mindfulness, self-reflection, seeking support, and developing good coping strategies to manage stress and difficult emotions, okay? And so tonight we're talking about, we're working through this so far. We've talked about being able to identify and allow space for and sit and be assertive. We've talked about using your big girl bark, and we've also discussed the importance of being able to change your frame of mind, which is what we spent time doing last week. And so we're gonna play a game today called This or That. This or That. And my intentions today is as we look at this, what we're going to talk about is that as we seek balance, you're going to find out that you always will have an option on how you're going to respond. You always will have an option. So we're going to look at scripture first. We're going to look at 5 passages of scripture, and we're going to talk about some kind of two combating forces that will show up every time you have to deal with a situation that might draw on you emotionally. Are we ready?
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, thank you for that. You think I'm funny, but you can't say okay. Y'all are too much. Number 1, trusting the Lord versus trusting self. Trusting the Lord versus trusting self. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So as you work on seeking balance, right? If you notice the last couple of times, we've been working on having a good foundation, a good framework, and being able to look at the notion that you have a choice, right? You have a choice in realizing, am I going to trust the Lord or am I going to trust myself? And so even within this within these two verses, we have some options. Will you lean on God or will you lean on yourself? Think about the way that you've approached your problems today. Think about the way that you've approached your problems the last week. Think about the way that you've approached the problems the last month, the last 6 months, the last year. Have you done a good job of determining, am I trusting in myself right now or am I trusting on the Lord? Am I trusting in myself or am I trusting in the Lord? And Pastor Xavier, what's the purpose of this? Why mention that? It's because your ability to determine which pathway you're going to choose is going to have direct implications for your emotions. Direct implications for your emotions. So he says, will you lean on God or lean on yourself? Will you acknowledge God or will you ignore him? Will you acknowledge God or will you ignore him? So we see two options already so far. To lean and then to acknowledge. Are you going to lean on God? That's to be dependent on. That other person, that entity being able to bolster and hold you up. Have you been demonstrating the ability in your circumstances, in your emotional awareness, to be able to lean on God or lean on yourself? Will you acknowledge God or will you ignore him? The difference between Muhammad and Buddha and Joseph Smith and all these other guys is that they're in the grave, right? You and I serve a risen Savior. And the only way that you and I can live a victorious Christian life is if we are continually drawing on that Holy Spirit power, continually walking in the gospel that saved us. That same gospel that's keeping us, you and I have to lean on the Lord, acknowledge God. Am I going to acknowledge God and what he wants to do, or am I going to ignore him? Will you receive the guidance or risk the fumble? Will you receive God's guidance or risk the fumble? So we see three different things happening in this narrative. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It's a tiered system. I lean on God, I acknowledge God, I receive the guidance that God is trying to give me. Or I lean on self, I ignore God, and I risk this blowing up right in my face. In the last week, what did you choose? In navigating your circumstances, in navigating your emotions, in navigating the different things that you're going through in your life, have you been leaning on yourself or leaning on God? Have you been trusting the Lord or have you been trusting yourself? And your ability to do that and understand what position you have, again, is going to have direct implications on your emotional health. If I learn to not worry, but lean on the Lord, trust in the Lord, go to him with my prayers and supplications, the result of that is a peace that passes all understanding. On the contrary, there's a way that seems right unto Xavier, but if I go that way, do it that way, process it that way, feel it that way, then in the end are the ways of death. This or that. In order to obtain emotional balance, you have to be able to balance this constant tension between, am I going to do it the Lord's way or am I going to do it my own way? And they will yield two completely different options. Number two, choosing joy versus choosing despair. This or that. We're trying to be more emotionally balanced, right? And so we're on that next track. Will you choose joy or will you choose despair? James 1 verses 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You will have to choose joy or risk the negative effects of not choosing joy. You will have to choose joy or choose the negative effects of not choosing joy. You risk the negative. You risk the negative emotions that show up every time. When I talk to my clients about navigating circumstances, you and I, in most situations, only can perform an action step to a point. For most things, there comes a point where it's out of our hands. You only have so much money. The doctors only have so much wisdom, so much ability. We only have so much clarity on what's going to happen with that job, with that next step. And that last little bit is going to have to be you and I determining, can we trust God to navigate the rest of that dark space, the rest of that negative space? And what we find here is he says that when we fall into diverse temptations, when we go through difficult circumstances, you and I will have to choose, am I going to bet on joy or bet on whatever other emotion my body will choose in this circumstance? Notice he starts the verse by saying, you count it all joy. Count it all joy, all of it, the positive joy, the negative joy, the in-between joy, the uncertainty joy, the frustration joy, the irritation joy, the lack of clarity joy, all of those different components. He says, count it all. All of it is joy, right? And we know that all things work together for good. The good works for the good. The bad works for the good. God wants to claim all of it for his glory. You got a choice to make. As you seek to be a more emotionally balanced person, what we're finding in the biblical portion of this tonight first is the foundation. We've been doing foundation work the last couple weeks. What is it that Joshua said? Choose you this day whom you will serve? What did God say through John in Revelation chapter 3, right? I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're neither hot nor cold and you're lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Pick a side. Pick a side. You're either going to choose to trust the Lord or you're going to choose to trust yourself. You're going to choose joy, or the alternative to that is despair. Is despair. Remember in Asaph's psalm? And he's talking about, I can't believe how the heathen just get away with murder. They get to live their lives and blaspheme God and do all of these awful things and live contrary to the word of God. And they have health and they have wealth and they have prosperity. And then what did he say? And then I considered their what? Their end. Oh. Oh. And just like that, envy turns to pity. That quick. You and I have to pick a side. Hear me. You choose to walk in joy, or you will walk in despair. You walk in joy, all of it, counting all of the difficulties for joy, or you will walk in despair. You must know that trials are coming, right? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It's not an if thing. It's not, you know, I might get off scot-free this week. I don't see anything in the forecast coming. It's just like Maryland and its weather. What's the point of watching the news and getting the weather updates? It's going to change anyway. Come on.
That's no matter where you live.
Hey. You have a responsibility to understand that it's not if trials come, it's when. And you will have to choose patience or impatience. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the end result of that is patience. Patience. Will you be patient? Will you be impatient? Are you patient with, number one, yourself? Are you patient, number one, with yourself to allow God the time to work through this? But secondly, are you patient with God? Are you patient with God? I mean, I guess we can flip it. Are you patient with God first, and then are you patient with yourself? It's going to require you to be able to exercise this. When you choose joy, you also, as a secondary, are choosing patience. All right, God. Joy, meaning that God is sovereign and has it all under control. I will be able to wait on you, right? The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, right? And so being able to understand those things. But the end goal of that is that you have to determine, right? So there's understanding that storms come, that trials come, that you have to choose patience or impatience. But check this out. You will have to choose to pursue maturation or fragments. Choose maturation or fragments. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word perfect, meaning achieving full maturation. That fullness that only comes in Christ. And if you are not walking in those things, joy first, right? Patience second. Full maturation as the end result. You're the contrary to that is being able to walk in a negative space. It's to walk in impatience. It's to be fragmented. It's to be broken. And we have to realize that that's the kind of foundation that we have to think now, that we have to set. Now, ask yourself, in the last week, with all the things going on in my life, have I chosen joy or have I chose despair? You got to pick. You got to pick. No more fence riding. No more fence riding. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What we're looking at right now is a battle between the will of God and the will of self. We're looking through a battle of spiritual elements and about versus humanistic elements. And you have to determine, is God God or am I God? Only one of those is a capital G. And it's not you. And it's not me. Capital G God has never lost a battle, has never lost a fight, never lost a fight, 100% victory rate, batting 1,000, does not miss, does not lose. You and I, baby, we fell like 6 times today. You're going to trust the Lord or you're going to trust yourself? You're going to choose joy or you're going to choose despair? Third, choosing to draw close to God versus managing it on your own. Choosing to draw close to God versus managing it on your own. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It's probably there in black somewhere. Okay? So what are some things to understand? God will draw close if you let him. You know, God's not going to force you. Scripture doesn't say, behold, I kick your door down. Behold, me and the SWAT team came with a battering ram, and we're just knocking it right off the hinges, and we're pulling everybody out. You're gonna be my people. I'm going to be your God whether you like it or not. It's not how it works. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who answers that door, he says, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him. And he will be to me a people, and I will be to him a God. You got to choose. You have to choose. Will you draw nigh to God, or will you draw close to him? So what's interesting, and this is how you win. Chess players in here? Chess players? Anybody regular? No? A few of us? Derek, come on, put your hand up. I know you play. Right? Forget the illustration. I'm moving on. Only like... Only 3 of y'all were going to get it, so just forget it. The 4 of us who are cool, we'll nerd out later. We'll talk about it. All right? Draw close to God, God will draw close to you if you let him. All right? God will draw close to you when your heart is broken. Something I like to inform my clients about is that your typical friend, family member is not usually equipped to handle the deep recesses of your pain and your trauma. You understand that, right? I'm gonna say it again. Your friends and your family are typically not equipped to manage, to deal with the deep recesses of your pain and of your trauma. What do you mean? Is what ends up happening is that I can only console you so much before I start to feel powerless. And now that I'm starting to feel powerless, what's usually going to happen is I'm going to start taking a step back because now it's awkward. And now I'm just sitting here while you cry every day. I'm going to go text me if you need me, right? And typically, because we don't know what to do with the pain of others, we will do our best. But think back on the difficult times in your life. People have tried to be there for you, but you may have noticed that those who did not know how to handle your circumstances have kind of eventually fade away. But guess who does not? God doesn't. He is near to the brokenhearted. Draw nigh unto them that are, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That word, contrite means to be remorseful. So those who are broken, those who are remorseful, we're talking about the people who are going through difficult circumstances. We're also talking about the people who have blown it, who have taken steps back in their Christian walk. When everybody else steps back, God is pressing toward restoration. I will draw nigh. Drawing close, it leaves you with connections when you have none. It leaves you with support when you've blown it. It leaves you with forgiveness when you ask for it. It's picking you up when you've fallen apart. But when you choose to do it on your own, what do you have? What do you have? Pastor, where's that in the Bible? Scripture says two is better than one. Two is better than one. If somebody's alone and he falls, who's going to help him up? If his body is cold, who's going to warm him up? We are built for that connection. And God is the ultimate connector. Not just of us and others, but his Holy Spirit as a conduit to draw us closer to himself. I wonder who's in this room or who's listening to this podcast later. You've been pushing God away. God has been knocking. And you hear it. You hear him knocking. You hear him ringing the doorbell. You see him looking through the cracks, trying to find that spot where your blinds aren't pulled all the way, seeing if you're actually home. You know how it is when you're a little kid and your mom says, don't answer the door for anybody. So someone knocks and then you just hide because you don't know what to do. And you're like, who's here? They're going to get me. God's like, I stand at the door and I knock, but you have to open it for me. And there are some of us right now in this room or under the sound of my voice who is leaving God out in the cold right now, knocking on your heart, waiting for you to let him in, waiting to sup with you, waiting to draw you closer to him, waiting to be your God, waiting for you to be his people. You got to choose. You have to choose. First, you have to choose trusting the Lord versus trusting yourself. Second, choosing joy versus choosing despair. Third, choosing to draw close to God versus managing it on your own. Choosing peace versus embracing turmoil. Choosing peace. I think I skipped one. Did I skip one? I did skip one. Here's for your notes. What's not on here, but is in your notes, is choosing transformation versus confirmation. Choosing transformation versus conformation. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you've been with me long enough, we've talked about this concept of transformation. That word transformation translates to metamorphosis. To undergo a change, like a caterpillar going into a cocoon and emerging as a butterfly, undergoing metamorphosis. When you undergo metamorphosis, that butterfly can't say, flying is whack, I'm done with this. Going back into the cocoon, I'm done here. The caterpillar life was way better. Totally not, right? No way. Wings, bro? We have a little book someone got for Rowan. With a little caterpillar. I don't find out what it's called, but he's like, the whole book is him just eating through all the pages. You guys know what I'm talking about? Very old book. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. 10 points to Gryffindor. Good job. Right? The Very Hungry Caterpillar came out when I was a kid. Right? And that caterpillar is just like on that little, eating through all that stuff. It's boring. You can't go that far. Right? Many of us try to revert all the time. We emerge out of the cocoon with our wings and we're feeling beautiful and all monarchy. And then we realize that, wow, it's hard. Can I go back to the caterpillar life? And that's the difference between transformation and conformation. Conformation is conformity is you and I just wearing a uniform, wearing your shirt that you wear to work and you get in the car. I remember I used to work at the Boys and Girls Club of America. And when I got out of there, I took that shirt off and just threw it in the back seat. I was ready to be out of there. I was no longer, and I clocked out. I was done for the day. You don't clock out as a believer. Once you make that step in transformation, It's a permanent solution. Conforming is temporary. Transforming is permanent. Conformity doesn't prove much. Check this out. Well, you can't see it because I don't have it on the screen for you. All right, but it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Conformity does not prove anything, but guess what? Transformation does. It proves the power of God. It proves the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And if you and I are going to work on being more emotionally balanced from a spiritual perspective, you got to commit. You got to commit. You got to pick a side. But guess what? You don't get to renege afterward. We do that. We go in and we bring it to the cross and we say, all right, God, it's yours. Like, oh, actually, I don't even know if I really. We have to be transformed. Become all the way like him, right? Christ, Christ one, Christ follower, little Christ. Commit. We have to transform. This is on your notes. Choosing peace versus embracing turmoil. Which side are you going to pick? You want to be more emotionally balanced? You have to decide, am I going to trust the Lord or trust myself? Am I going to choose joy or am I going to choose despair? Am I going to choose to draw close to God or am I going to choose to manage it on my own? Will I choose transformation or will I choose to conform? Will I choose peace or will I embrace turmoil? Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. And be ye thankful. This verse emphasizes cultivating that inner peace that comes with gratitude and unity with Christ in the body and contributes to your general overall, not your general, but your overall emotional well-being. God has to rule in your heart or turmoil will. God has to rule in your heart or turmoil will. You and I can do nothing more than fall short. Now, if you're not a believer, that's fatalistic. If you are a believer, that's a gold mine. You mean to tell me that if I decrease, God will increase? You mean to tell me that if I cast all my care on him, he'll care for me? You mean to tell me that he'll carry all of my burden and the yoke? That it's light to him? The paradox is that by doing less, you are doing more. Ooh, you're doing more. But you got to pick. Let the peace of God, you have to let it. Look at the language of the verses that we've been looking at. It's not forceful. It's not authoritative. It's not demanding. It's saying this, that if you allow it, if you'll let the peace of God rule in your heart, you got to let it do its job. God has to rule in your heart or turmoil will. You be a part of the body or be set apart from it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which also are ye called in one body. The body of Christ is not 10 heads and 35 fingers and, you know, 6,000 hearts and 45 toes and an extra one on the pinky. It's made up of one head and two arms and two legs, and right, and every one of us plays a part, and we're meant to draw closer to the body, not step away from it. And some people in here, while you've been embracing your turmoil, you've also been pushing away your social support. You've also been pushing away God from being able to work in you the way that he wants to. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which ye are called one body, and be thankful. Choosing thankfulness versus dissatisfaction. Remember what Paul said? I have learned in whatsoever state that I am with, therewith to be content. In whatsoever state that is, I have to let God rule in my heart, or turmoil will. Be a part of the body, or I'll be set apart from it. I have to choose thankfulness, or I'll be dissatisfied. You have to pick. The reason that so many of us are so emotionally unbalanced is because you don't know which side you're on. You are hot. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot, or I wish you were cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee from my mouth. Pick. Pick. This is not a chew the meat and spit out the bones kind of Christianity. You have to ingest the entire meal. ingest it, digest it. Let its nutrients permeate your body and do its job. In order to be more emotionally balanced, it takes some setting up of trusting the Lord versus trusting yourself. Choosing joy versus choosing despair. Choosing to draw close to God versus managing on your own. Choosing transformation versus choosing confirmation. Or choosing peace versus embracing turmoil. I want you to take a second. And if you have a handout, I want you to take some time tonight. And I want you to go through all of the this or that components in that and see where you've been. Where you've been. Have I really been choosing peace? Or have I been choosing turmoil? Have I really been committed, or am I just conforming? Have I been drawing close to God, or have I just been letting Him just stand there and knock and knock and knock and knock? Have I been choosing to count it all joy, or have I been choosing despair every time? Have I been trusting the Lord, or have I been trusting myself? You got to pick. You thought that we were done with this or that, but we're just getting started. All right, therapist hat, let's switch gears a bit. Number one, you want to work on this? Embrace change versus clinging to familiarity. You want to work on this emotional balance? While change can bring growth and new opportunities, clinging to familiarity can provide comfort and stability in uncertain times. Which one are you going to pick? Which one are you going to pick? Again, what you're going to find out is that in your life, both of these things are going to be a constant state of tension. And there are people in this room right now, under the sound of my voice or later on in the podcast, who you are having a difficult time navigating this concept. Do you know that balance is going to require you to ride this line a lot? And if all you do is embrace change, you'll never be stable. If all you do is change, 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 change. Hey, I've had 10 jobs in 2 years. I don't think that's a flex, buddy. Your employer doesn't want to see that. What they're going to see is that you're fickle and that you don't have any stability, and they're going to throw that resume in the trash. As someone who hires interns for our organization, I know I would. But clinging to familiarity keeps you in that safety net far too long. You don't ever leave the nest. And I get it. It's scary. It's scary to take that step out and say, hey, I know that I need to take some time to work on switching up my environment or switching up my circumstances. But what we can do sometimes is when we cling to what we know and only what we know, there's no growth. There's no growth. The Bible says, we talked about it before, but the Bible talks about that you're still a milk-drinking Christian versus a meat-eating Christian. It's a time when you were supposed to be teachers. You still had to be taught. There is a time where being taught is appropriate, but there's a time when you're supposed to be the teacher. Reflect on your life right now. Have you been doing a good job of walking in balance? Or have you been clinging to a side? Too much change too quickly is never going to help you to be rooted and grounded. But sometimes you can be so rooted that it's rotting down there and you can't even see it. If you want to be more emotionally balanced, you're going to have to toe this line of embracing change versus clinging to familiarity. Second, self-compassion versus self-criticism. Self-compassion versus self-criticism. Practicing self-compassion allows for understanding and for growth, while self-criticism can lead to self-doubt and negativity. Where have you been? Where have you been? Have you been kind to you? Have you been showing grace to you? Or have you been beating yourself up? Now, there's a level of self-analysis that's important, right? Where we have to look at ourselves and see how we're doing, and we have to be able to scrutinize a little bit and make the changes that we have to make, right? If we're breaking out of that clinging to familiarity to embrace more change, it requires me to look at myself and see what I need to grow in. But that is not the same thing as tearing yourself down for your mistakes. That is not the same. That's not the same thing as looking in the mirror and calling yourself a failure every day. Or saying that you are unloved or unworth it, those things, that level of self-criticism is only going to tear you down. The Bible says that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Right? There is no condemnation. And yet some of us walk in that condemnation, self-condemnation all the time. We have to toe that line between being compassionate to ourselves and also lighting a fire under our own behinds and saying, come on, we got to get to it. We have to walk. We have to grow. Number three, seeking support versus isolating. Seeking support versus isolating. There are two people in this room, right? There are the people who, I'm going to ask you to be vulnerable, right? We're in mind games, the emotional version. Let's see what we got. How many of us can say, Pastor Xavier, if I'm being honest, I am the kind of person that I usually, it works out better for me if I can have someone to help me process before I make decisions and work through things. Who is that? Raise them high. Let me see. I'm a processor. I need to talk it out. All right. Thank you. Put your hand down. How many of y'all can say, Pastor Xavier, honestly, I need to get away. I need some time to myself up front to kind of think through and kind of sort before I make a decision. I'm in that group also. But guess what? There are going to be times in your life where both are appropriate. Can we get it out of the way that we should spend time in prayer first? Can we get that out of the way? Go to the Lord first, consult scripture, blah, 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 blah. All the Christian jargon, you know that part. But after we've consulted with the great consultant first, there are going to be some times that I need to talk to someone and figure out what's happening. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, right, there is safety. Unfortunately, it does not mean therapists. What it does mean is maintenance men to a machine. Sometimes for us to figure it out, we have to be able to step into the ring with someone else and say, hey, I need you to spar with me right now while I figure this out. And then there are going to be times where you're listening to way too many voices. To way too many voices. You're going to Jim, John, and Joe trying to figure out what to do with it. And you're having to make a decision. And you have all of these. Look at Job's friends. Right? Look at Job's friends. Job goes to his friends and he's like, oh, they're like, oh my gosh, you must have done something. And right, we spend chapters of them all. By the way, all of them were wrong. And walking through all of these different things. But there's going to be times where even after we've heard it, I'm going to have to take some time and process still. And some of us are making decisions. If Rehoboam would have had a backbone, it would have saved his kingdom. But he didn't have to choose his dad's counsel to make the decision. He didn't have to listen to his friends. He could have made a hybrid decision. I don't know. There's options. But when we just listen and listen and listen to others, especially when we listen more to others than we listen to the Holy Spirit, we make a lot of errors in there. We have to walk that line of seeking support versus taking some time back. Can I say this real quick, though, as an asterisk? That seeking support and taking time to yourself is not the same thing as isolation. You understand that, right? Do y'all understand that? We don't understand that. I'll explain it to you. Taking some time to reflect and to process is a very good thing. But that is not the same thing as withdrawing from all the people that you know and that love you, that care about you, because of insert whatever circumstance or feeling or whatever it is that we're going through, and to withdraw ourselves completely from it. We end up on an island like that with no support. You roll yourself to the island and you sunk the boat. Now what are you going to do? Taking time for yourself to step back in the process is good, but isolating is never a good thing, right? Fourth, setting boundaries versus people-pleasing. Ooh, I'm about to get in some people's business. Setting boundaries versus people-pleasing. Setting boundaries preserves emotional well-being and self-respect, while people-pleasing can lead to resentment and burnout. My God, I'm not going to ask people to raise their hands, but I got some questions to ask you. Are you a good boundary setter? You know that setting boundaries starts with yourself? We put unhealthy expectations on others to hold boundaries that we don't even keep for our own self. It's very difficult. But when you set healthy boundaries, it will help you to preserve your emotional well-being and self-respect. When you people please, it looks good on the front end. I'm catering to your every need. I'm doing all of these things that you want me to do. I'm here for you. But there comes a point where that becomes cumbersome. And even though I've helped and I've loved and I've supported and I've done all of these other things, there comes a point. I'm reading a book right now. I'm about to finish it up. It's called It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wolin. It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wolin. It Didn't Start With You. Some of y'all are picking it up. There we go. By Mark Wolin. And there's a section in there where he's talking about how some of these things can weigh on us, and it weighs on us, and it weighs on us until it weighs on us too much and we can't stand it anymore. And before we have the chance to work on reconcile or clearing it, we rip that relationship right in half. And it's easier to stay away, right? Isolate than it is to problem solve. You wouldn't have to fall to the subjection of people pleasing and the inevitable resentment. You hearing me? Okay. I'll go back to my soft voice again. The inevitable resentment that comes with being a people pleaser. Because guess what? You're going to overextend and it is not going to be reciprocated. Because being a support system and being a people pleaser are not the same thing. Lots of dichotomies tonight. I can be there and I can be helpful. I can be kind, I can be encouraging. But if I people please, it's like, I want this so I can have the support. I want this so you can get off my back. I want to do these things so I can feel connected. And it causes me to overextend in order to reach into a pool that most of the time I have either A, not been invited to, and B, have unrealistic expectations of. And have C, allowed unrealistic expectations of me to be set, which is going to end in me being ripped right in half, right along with your relationship. Number five, we're trying to talk about emotional balance tonight. Practicing gratitude versus dwelling on negativity. Practicing gratitude versus dwelling on negativity. Cultivating gratitude promotes positivity and resilience, while dwelling on negativity can perpetuate a cycle of despair and hopelessness. Am I saying pretend nothing happened and that nothing's going on? Who cares about bills? Let's just go to Disney and blow our whole savings account on it. By the way, I love Disney. I went to Epcot. Anybody been to Epcot before? And they have that It's a Small World ride. Anybody been on the It's a Small? That ride is demonic. I don't care what nobody says. You thought I was being friendly right now. I'm not being friendly. That ride is demonic. Here's what I mean. Is that you go through it and singing that song like, it's a small world after all. And the little figurines are like from the 60s and they're just like scary. What is this ominous music? It's terrifying. I couldn't, my anxiety was through the roof. I didn't get out of here. I'm not sure what's happening in there. But no, we don't say, hey, I'm going to blow our whole savings on a vacation, right? We budget and we go and we enjoy savings. We enjoy a vacation. We enjoy Disney World. We enjoy all of these different things. But what's important to realize is that you and I have a responsibility to portion well. To portion well. And the reason why I brought up that example is because when we look at this definition of cultivating positivity and resilience, negativity can perpetuate that cycle of despair and hopelessness. And what we do is we empty the tank. That's what I'm getting at. We empty that tank out in those negative spaces, and you don't get to buy it back. You don't get to buy it back. I'm not saying pretend that everything is all, what is not all, is all lovely and flowers and roses. I'm not saying that we pretend that things and problems and circumstances don't exist. What I'm saying is if we step back and pan out to a God-sized view and realize that, again, all things work together for what? Good, all of it. Count it all joy when you go through various trials, not even just one trial or some or periodic trials, when you go through various trials. You know, sometimes right as soon as that storm's over, you get smacked with another one. Anybody ever been to the beach while the waves have been pretty rough? And you get knocked down by the wave and you get up and you go, and you get knocked over again. Sometimes life is like that, just kicking us around. What if I told you you could still have gratitude in that season? What if I told you that dependence on a sovereign God can allow you to be grateful for even your trial, as weighty as it is. Because here's the alternative: a sorrowful spirit that is drying your bones. That is drying your bones. And some of us, we're here today, we brushed our hair, we pressed our clothes, we put on makeup, we put on cologne, and it's just a shell. A shell. And inside, you can whoom, 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 it's hollow in there. Baby, enough pressure on you and you'll just boom. I'm calling on you to be genuine, but grateful. Are you okay? No, but God is so good. And I know that what he's taking me through now is going to cause me to change this test to a testimony later. It's hard to focus on the night when you see the sun coming up over the horizon. But Pastor Xavier, I can't see it. It's way too dark. I wasn't talking about the physical sun. I'm talking about God already in the act of working this out. Again, if you are sitting here today, you have made it through 100% of every trial that you've gone through. But not by your own merit, by the power of the sovereign God. I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do, but that's something to be grateful for. 6, accepting imperfection versus striving for perfection. Where my perfectionists at? Expose yourselves. Ah, thank you, John. Yep, me. And it's not just 3. Where the rest of y'all at? Ah, Abby, I see you. Brother Paul, I saw you. I'm calling names out. With the potential of sounding like a hypocrite, I want to say this. As a fellow perfectionist, you live by that sword, you'll die by it. You'll die by it. And being a perfectionist leaves zero room for God. None. Embracing imperfection fosters self-acceptance and flexibility, while striving for perfection can lead to stress and dissatisfaction. Who remembers from last week? Those who are the most rigid will... Ooh, y'all were listening. Will what? Break. Will break. You and I have to get into the mentality of realizing that I am an imperfect person, but again, I'm serving a what? A perfect God. A perfect God. Do you realize the kind of weaponry at your disposal? I don't have to carry that pressure of being perfect, because God is perfect and his perfect will is perfect doing perfect stuff. Yeah. And when we allow him to, there's no errors. I'm not saying you become perfect. I'm saying God is perfect. And in exercising his will, he's going to work it all out. Right? The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Proverbs says, God keeps the foot of the righteous from slipping onto the perverse path. You know what those two verses have in common? Individuals who are letting God lead the way. And if God does not miss, and I am walking as he wants me to walk, then guess what that means? That I won't miss either. But it requires me to be okay with being imperfect, because when I am imperfect and I've accepted that, I can now decrease so that he can increase. And I can get out of the way so that God can do his job. The truth of the matter is that for some of y'all in this room and some of y'all listening later, is that you're standing in your own way. Respectfully, move. Move. Let God do his job. We're almost done. Expressing emotions versus repressing them. Ooh, here's a vintage one. Who remembers? Negative emotions will always... Who said that? Give St. Jean from Long Range. You wouldn't even be in here like that. I'm impressed. Will always manifest themselves. I'm not going to get into all the therapeutic... Yes, I am. I absolutely am. Repressing deep negative emotions has severe ramifications. Severe. Right? A merry spirit doeth good like a medicine, but a sorrowful spirit drieth the bones. That's the biblical side. There is a direct connection from your emotional state to your physical state. You know why sometimes when someone's spouse passes away, you hear about that mostly in elderly couples, right? Their spouse passes away, you'll hear another one 6 months behind, right? Y'all ever heard about that before? Guess what did it? That broken heart. That broken heart, it will literally cause you to begin decaying. Your body not being used anymore, doing what it needs to do anymore. It requires us to realize that if we don't get into the habit of expressing what's happening, whether that be through talk therapy or through music or through art, through dance, through whatever it might be, being able to express yourself is therapeutic. Why? Because if you repress those, they will show up. And when they show up, you don't get a say. And usually when they show up the way that they show up, it is very difficult to reverse the effects that they have started. Severe weight gain, severe weight loss, chronic migraines, right? Muscle spasms, nightmares, muscle sweat or night sweating, early menopause. The list goes on and on and on and on. That literally, because guess what? It's not just emotions. It's something else. It starts with an S. Who knows what I'm going to say? Ooh, I heard it. Who said it? Starts with an S. Can you guess? It's stress. That's why. And someone tell me, is stress on your heart a good thing? No. You see what happens when we shut ourselves off from the therapy mumbo jumbo, because it's just as much medical as it is therapeutic. Stress on your heart is not good for you. And that's what we risk in whatever form it wants to show when we repress our emotions. Number 8, forgiving oneself versus holding on to guilt. Oh boy. Some of us are good at forgiving others, but we're terrible at forgiving ourselves. God says that if we forgive others, then he will forgive us, right? But what happens when we can't forgive ourselves? Forgiving oneself promotes self-forgiveness and growth, while holding on to guilt can hinder progress and perpetuate feelings of unworthiness, powerlessness. I'm asking you to give yourself permission to let you off the hook. You've punished yourself long enough. Let it go. Let it go. It's done. If you were wrong, repent. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But guess what? God says he casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And I'm going to stand before an almighty God and I'm going to say, God, will you still let me in even though I insert whatever? And he's going to say, what are you talking about? And some of us have not been able to let ourselves off the hook. Number 9, cultivating self-awareness versus avoiding introspection. Cultivating self-awareness versus avoiding introspection. Cultivating self-awareness leads to a personal growth and understanding, while avoiding introspection can lead to stagnation and emotional detachment. Some of y'all don't want to open up because you're afraid of what you're going to find in there. Some of y'all have really deep recesses of pain and trauma. Deep. That same book, It Didn't Start With You, by Mark Rowland. That same book, It Didn't Start With You, by Mark Rowland. Oh, I got another one for you, right? I know Miss Heather doesn't like it that much because it's too fluffy. But It Didn't Start With You, we already said that. The Mountain Is You. The Mountain Is You. Right, by Brianna West. The concepts in both of those books is that we have to be able to work out all of that stuff that in those deep recesses. And some of us are carrying years and years and years and years of stuff that, guess what? And It Didn't Start With You, he talked about a mother who experiences high anxiety while in pregnancy will see an increased risk in behavioral problems and mental health issues in their children. Mothers who experience trauma while pregnant will pass on to their children what is called secondary trauma, and even though they are completely unrelated to the issue, will find themselves battling with deep mental health issues for things they have no reason why. It's just happening. Did you know that if you have are someone that has been diagnosed, well, it's not necessarily the diagnosis, but you've battled with depression or anxiety or bipolar or you're schizophrenic or whatever has happened, that there is an increased risk, it is doubled, that your children will take on some form of mental health issues. Heal. Heal. Why? Because we're passing that garbage on to our kids. And we haven't even talked about outside of the womb. Some of us have things that, some of us have things that we're working through right now while our kids are alive and well and they're watching us navigate it poorly. And guess what? There is learned behavior starting right then and there. They're going to grow up. That little girl is going to grow up and respond to her circumstances exactly how you taught her. That young man is watching his dad right now to see how he's navigating this stuff. It's fragile, y'all. And it's bigger than you. The Bible says that sin, right, and the effects of it go to the third and the fourth generation. I want to couple that with this, that not navigating negative emotional spaces and emotional circumstances in our lives will also go to the third and fourth generation. I would hate for my grandkids to be dealing with the same garbage that I'm dealing with right now because of me. Because guess what? It's hereditary. Ta-da! That's the prize you won. So I have an idea. Number one, it's never too late. It's never too late. You might say, Pastor, I blew it. No, you didn't. It's not too late. Now is the time to start working on it. Now is the time to start modeling for your children, modeling for your family, what it looks like, number one, to be a child of God who navigates emotions like a human being. But second, how to navigate difficult times in a healthy and proper manner. And guess what? It's okay to model. Here's a disservice that we do. I didn't even mean for this to turn into a parenting workshop, but we're here. You are modeling problem solving to your children, but you are also navigating emotional intelligence with your children as well. We tried so hard to guard our children from so much that it has adverse effects. I'm not saying give them all the negative, nasty, and grimy details. What I am saying is it's okay to tell your kid, I'm sad. This hurts me and I'm sad. I need to be strong for the family. Cut the garbage. Stop that. I need to be strong for my family. I don't mean to be rude or irreverent, y'all, but I'm telling you, it's destructive. Be a human being to those who are coming behind you. Strength is for the birds. Why? Because it's in our weakness. I sought the Lord thrice that he should remove the thorn in my flesh. He said, nay, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to show you, son, what it looks like to be on my knees before God and how he's going to build us up through this. Yes, I'm weak, but God is not. Are you being a good model? Resilience isn't enough. You bounce back, great, I'm proud of you, truly. I'm not saying that facetiously. I mean that, I am proud of you, but it's not enough. You have to heal. There are little feet behind you, and it may not be your kid, it might be your neighbor, it might be your nephew, it might be your niece, it might be that little kid you're teaching in children's church, it might be somebody who you even know is watching you from across the room. You have no idea who's watching you. You say, well, Pastor Xavier, should I be doing this for them? No, you should be doing it for you. But what I'm saying is that there are also people who are going to be directly affected by the way that you live your life. You have a responsibility to heal all the trauma, all the hurt, whatever your parents did to you, whatever your grandparents did to you, who neglected you, who abandoned you, who let you down. I'm not saying that any of that is invalid. It is 100% valid, but baby, you got to work on that. You got to work on that. Xavier Small has trauma. I was diagnosed with unspecified trauma disorder, and I think the only reason that I didn't get PTSD was because I entered a counseling program and I learned how to work on myself. But there are two little girls who are depending on me to make sure that I'm healing. Because if by chance Xavier and Kalia's genetics and the things that we've dealt with are passed on to our girls, I see a temper in my daughter. I see some of the negative traits of Xavier in my daughter. I see them. And if I work through mine, guess what I get to also do? Hold her hand through hers. We can't afford to avoid introspection. Lastly, find balance versus extremes. That's the whole reason we're here today. Striving for balance and allows for harmony for and well-being, while extremes can lead to instability and emotional distress. So here's your assignment. Take that handout home. Spend some time in prayer and ask God to reveal to you what areas of your life require both healing and balance. And then I want you to take a pen, and I gave you, all things included, 15 this or that scenarios. And I want you to circle where you've been. And if the answer is overwhelmingly negative, well, you know that you've got some work to do. It will be a good indicator of how you've been performing in this life. But the truth is, you gotta pick. You gotta pick. If you wanna be an emotionally intelligent person, you can't be a fence rider anymore. Can't afford to. You can't afford to. It's time for you to work on those emotions in a healthy way. Because all throughout this workshop, what have we been talking about? That it's not just working through our own emotions, but being able to do so while considering the emotions of others, the feelings of others, the experience of others. It is bigger than you. It is mandatory that you heal. Mandatory. Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, Lord, that you are a God who heals. Not just our physical ailments, Lord, but our mental and our emotional and spiritual ailments also. God, I pray that as we work on achieving and striving toward balance, that every one of us will learn that it takes a great deal of vulnerability for us to be able to navigate these concepts, these very harsh concepts that we talked about tonight, Lord. I only pray for peace that passes all understanding over these people, Lord, but I also pray for strength that passes all understanding, a supernatural strength to dig into the deep recesses of the struggles that we've had and say, all right, Lord, it's all yours. Every time that I've been abused and neglected and mistreated and abandoned, it's all yours. All the things that happened to me in my past, they're all yours. All the things happening to me right now, they're all yours. All the things happening in the future, they are all yours. Lord, the things that we talked about tonight in session 7 are heavy concepts and that are going to be multifaceted concepts. And I pray that each and every one of us would be continually walking in our sanctification, which should help us to do better in these areas. We want to be more emotionally intelligent people, Lord, but we cannot do it without your help. Help us to not only see that healing is not only crucial, but it's fundamental to all the other areas. And that at the helm of that ship is you, God, the great physician, turning broken spirits into merry hearts, turning graves into gardens, causing dry bones to live again, Some of us have mental dry bones and spiritual dry bones or emotional dry bones. Lord, we ask that you bring them back to life. Spiritual dry bones, help us to bring those back to life. And that we would be 1,000% dependent on the work of your Spirit to guide us in the ways that we need to. God, I'm going to thank you in advance as we get ready to wrap up this series next week, that you'll be honored and glorified in it all. In Jesus' name we pray and we're thankful. Amen.